even check sheet to order.
Okay, so basically we're going to go now to the issue of Adam Suvosa, Adam Suvosa, and Suvosa. So in the Gemara it comes up because it tells the story of this guy, Dam ben Asina, who did a great kibbutz avayim, and he got the schar, this great schar of the, the 600,000, right? So it says, and the Gemara says, Amar of Chanina, this is the second wide line on Lamed Aleph Mem Aleph, wide line. Mami Yishena Mitzvah Va'osa Kach, Mitzvah Osa Kach Kama Kama. If you see that, in a Mitzvah Osa, Goy, who has a Mitzvah in the midst of Kibbutz Avayim, got this great reward. Certainly someone who's a Mitzvah Va'osa, someone who's commanded and does it. Don't know why. Why is that certainly? So it says, the Amar of Chista, I think. I don't know. Yeah, it is. Because that's what he says. Because the Rechus says that Mitzvosa is greater. Chanina is greater than an Mitzvosa. Okay, so the Gemara says Amar of Yosef. Okay, Meresh Have Amina. Originally, I thought Man Amar the Have Amar Li Halach Karev Yehuda. The Amar Sum Patamen Mitzvos. So Yosef was blind, Rashi says. Right? He said, Shaysaginar means he was blind. Okay? And Rabbi Yehuda was the position who held that Asuma was pater in all the mitzvahs. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda held. So Rabbi Yehuda is a Shidei Yechidi, but he holds Asuma is pater in all the mitzvahs. So originally, when he was a Asuma, so originally if someone would tell him that the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Asuma is pater in all the mitzvahs, he'd make a yanta for the Rabbanon. Right, he'd be very happy. Because I wasn't commanded, and yet I was still doing them. So then he thought he'd be very happy, because now he'd be getting schar like an Einam Mitzvah Vosa. He thought Einam Mitzvah Vosa is better. Hashta de Shem Isa Lahada Amar Chanina. Gadol Mitzvah Vosa Yoser Mimishem Mitzvah Vosa. Now that Einam Chanina statement that Einam Mitzvah Vosa is greater than Einam Mitzvah Vosa, Adrab. Someone tell me that the halacha is not like Rav Yehuda, and make yanta for the Rabbana. That I'd be very happy. Because this way I get the scar of Mitzvosa. And I think I saw somewhere that this is the source for Bar Mitzvah. The simcha of Bar Mitzvah is the simcha that he's chayiv in mitzvahs. It's like you see, make yanta for the Rabbana. So you see, there's a source that you make yanta for being chayiv in the mitzvah. So you're happy about the fact you're chayiv in mitzvah. So you make a party. So he's saying he would have made a party for the Rabbana. To express his joy about the fact that he's chayav mitzvos and he's now mitzvosa.
I think it's the opposite.
Okay, so that's basically how Hamin Oskana. Hamin Oskana about who's greater, who receives more reward. Is the Einam Mitzvosa? Apparently, he originally thought Einam Mitzvosa was better, right? Because he's not even commanded, he's still doing it. So it's great, unbelievable. Guy who's mitzvosa has to do it. But then he heard this statement of Rechanina. Apparently, he realized that it was true, held by it, and then he realized he switched. Maskana is now really Mitzvos is greater. Okay? Really Mitzvos is greater. So, on the surface, what sounds greater? But on the surface, this is probably Havmina, Rechanina's Havmina, or whoever's Havmina, Yossi's Havmina, is that they're doing the Mitzvos. If you're commanded, you're obligated to. You don't have a choice. You don't do it, you get onus. I mean, the system demands that you do it. But, so of course you're going to do it. But, or it's easier, or whatever, something like that. But a guy who is not commanded and he just on his own realizes that this is a good and he's going to decide to do it anyways, that's a guy who really reflects a level. That's unbelievable, right? I mean, that's what he thought. He thought, I'm not commanded to do it and I'm still doing them. So, it shows a certain kind of a commitment or recognition of the mitzvahs. But a guy who's doing it because he has to, big deal. Of course, yeah, you have to do it, you don't have a choice. So that was what he thought. I mean, that makes sense. That made sense. Right? But now the question is, what's the sense of the maskana? I mean, what is the logic of Gadol Mitzvos Mishen Mitzvos, right? So we have a few pshatim in the Rishonim, right? So let's start with Tosfos, I guess. So the question is, what's the svara? They say that you're better off being a mitzvah, right? So then they're shown in their few. Three or four different, two, three, four, they'll say. But a number of different explanations for why it's greater to be a mitzvah. Why that's better, why he gets more star. Okay? So Tosa says like this. Right? I mean, I think from the Gemara, from the Rishonim, you see that the Havmina made sense. They're not busy letting themselves explain the Amin. I mean, it makes sense. Is that like what he thought? They're not obligated. You're still doing it. It shows a certain level, you know. But they're explaining what's the sense of the maskana. You know, they realize that's the side that needs explanation. And this was the inside which Rav Chanina was revealing. Rav Yosef didn't realize it at first, you know. So it says like this: Godol Amitzuvos Nira Dahinu Taima. Tells us it seems this is the reason. Demisha Mitzuvos Adif Lefisha Doeg Umitzta'er Yoser Pen Yavar. He's worried and pained more that lest it will pass, and he won't be able to do it. Mimisha ain't a mitzvah, from someone who's not commanded. Sheyesh lo pas pesalo, because he has bread in his basket. Shem yotzeniach, and he could rest the shard. Whatever. If he does it, he could try to do it, and he could put in a good effort. But if it's hard, if whatever, so he won't do it. It's not going to happen if he doesn't do it. But the guy who's mitzvah is mechuyev to do it, and he must make sure with all his energy, and he's very worried and afraid and, pained, lest he'll miss it. And therefore, somehow, he's going to end up, he gets more slack. Okay? So the question is, so what? Big deal. So what is mitzvah? So why does that give him more slack? What's the sense to that? Right? I mean, why should he get more schar? Because he's afraid and he's worried, and therefore he gets more schar. Like, how does that work? Like, what's the logic for that? So let's see Tosafot Rash. This question is, what does he mean? So let's see. The Tosafot Rash says something similar. Says Afagav. It's interesting. He starts with the question. Afagav the Rina says, "Lagiga Perikshini Moshel Melach Shamar Lavada V'Hashkin L'Pesal." So a king says to his servants, "Wake up early in the morning. Come to my door." So who's he going to give the biggest schar to for coming early in the morning? So he's going to say Lenoshim. Shane Dak Lahashkim, Kalanoshim. So it says he'll give the biggest schar to women. Because for women, it's not their nature to wake up early. And they're waking up early, even though it's not their nature. Right? So he's going to give them a bigger schar than for men, who's their nature anyways. They get up early in the morning anyway. So big deal. So they come into the castle. I mean, okay, fine. But it's not as great as for women who really are going against their nature, you know. Right?
That's not.
I mean, on the surface, it's hard to know what's bothering him. Well, what does it have anything to do with it? I mean, it's true, he's mechalik. But I mean, what does it have anything to do with it, it seems? Like, because let's say you say one person's obligated and this one person's not obligated. Does that mean that it's one person's nature to do it and it's the other person's not their nature to do it?
No.
I mean, what does that have to do with it? Is a person's, I mean, like, just because they're not obligated doesn't mean it's not the nature. Like, assume it's not obligated. It means because it's not their nature to do the mitzvah. It's just because the Torah was mechayev them for whatever reason. And let's say if a sumo has been doing it their whole life, so it is their nature. I mean, if Yosef was doing it his whole life, so it's not his nature, it's his nature. Like anyone else, his nature isn't different because he's blind. You know, I understand if you say he never doesn't do it regularly. You could say that. So a guy doesn't do it regularly. Maybe that's the thing. He says, a guy doesn't do it regularly. So he doesn't always do it. So therefore, it's not his nature because he doesn't always do it. So now when he does it, he's really overcoming his nature. But for a guy to wake up early to go to minyan or something, you know, he always wakes up early to go to minyan. That's just what he does. The guy's always doing it. So it doesn't do anything in an unusual feat. But if a girl would do it, let's say, it would be hard. She's not used to doing that and she goes against her normal. But that would be assuming like a girl who doesn't normally do these things. Of course, if a girl does it regularly, then she's going to become the same thing. But maybe you'd say is that you could argue that in general, an Eina Mitzuvos is going to be someone who isn't doing it so much.
Right.
So if you're not someone who's not doing it so much, then the times that you do it, you're going to be going against your nature, and you're going to have to force yourself to do it. But a guy who's Mitzuvos basically just becomes habit. He becomes set in his way. It's a habit. He always does it, and it's not such a big deal. Maybe that's what he's bothered by, you know? So on the surface, you'd think from the Akamara that it's bad that the person who's doing it regularly and habitually, for him it's not such a big thing. But the person who's doing it, even though it's not their habit to do it and they do it, that's a better thing. You're really going against what you would normally do. Mm-hmm. And it's true though that logic wouldn't hold up if an Eim Sivosa became regulated in doing something. But it could be in general he's saying, in this question, I mean, but it's saying all Enum Sivosa, you know, Sivosa is greater than Enum Sivosa across the board. It doesn't say if the Enum Sivosa isn't regulated, then they're going to be greater. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what it means. Okay, let's see what's the answer. So he's going to explain why it isn't, though. He says, Lo domi lach, tehasam shneihem mitzuvim. Because they're both mitzuvah. Whereas by the case of the man and the woman waking up early for the council, they're both obligated. The king obligates them both to do it. So in that regard, they're equivalent. Umisha in darko, adif tfei, kishuosa. But someone who is not their way to do it, so they're both obligated 100%. Now, the man who's obligated is doing it, but it's easy for him to do it. The woman who's going to wake up early, it's not her nature, it's hard for her to do it. So she's making a bigger move. But here, vahenu taima. As opposed to here. Where here, it's not the same thing. Because here, you're talking about one person who's mitzuvah and one person who's not mitzuvah. And it's saying mitzuvah v'osa is greater. So the Gemara there isn't talking about that muscle there of the king telling everyone to go up. It's talking about where everyone's mitzuvah equally. So it's true that assuming they're both mitzuvah, then there's a tiebreaker. Or there's another factor. That's about it. But if one's mitzuvah, one's not mitzuvah, then mitzuvah v'osa is greater. Okay, why? So now he says, "V'hainu time at the mishum mitzuvos adif tvei adif." This is why. Okay, now he's going to explain. Lefisha doeg umitztayer tadir sheyorei shemayavar. Right. So it sounds like this part is exactly the same as what Tosa said. Right. He's worried, and he's in pain often because he's worried maybe it's going to pass. Right. That I think is literally. Right. That's the same exact thing Tosa said. V'tzarach lachov asyitzro yoser. And therefore, he has to be kofa his yetzer, to control his yetzer more than someone who's not mitzuva. Who, if he wants, he can let it go. Sounds like what Tosa is saying. He's elaborating this part of lach v'sietzro, but I mean, I would think that you'd assume it's elaboration on Tosa's point. I mean, I don't think you have a right if you see the Rosh says, Tosa Rosh says this exact same thing in the beginning part, and then he explains it. So what right do you have to say that Tosfos is saying a different shot? I mean, why? Because he says, because he doesn't say that part of the Yitzhak, he doesn't explain it. I mean, but presumably the Rosh, and the Rosh is the Rosh who is about Tosfos. I mean, is Tosfos the Rosh? It's the Rosh.
He's the same guy.
Same guy, it's the Rosh.
Same guy.
Yeah, same Rosh. Same Rosh. Because Rosh is one of the Bali Tosos. I think a later one, but he's one of the Bali Tosos, and he wrote over the Tosos. Tosos is a whole school of Tosophists, and their different writings of their things. So the Rosh, I think he was on the later ones, and that's why I think he wrote up. That's why it's good if you have questions in the Tosos. Oftentimes it's good to look at Tosos Rosh. Sometimes they have different texts, different kirsos, and they clarify it, you know. So, I mean, if they're two different things, it's one thing. But I mean, if he's saying the exact same thing as Tosos, and he's just elaborating more, presumably that's an elaboration. Oh, that's what Tosa meant also. And I would think, I mean, what unless you have a proof that Tosa meant something different, but just because you come up with a different svar than Tosa, so I don't know if that gives you a right to, you know. Unless you show Tosa omitted that, but he didn't omit it, I mean, he just didn't explain it. I would think. So, well, you still have to explain it, but at least now you have some opening. It's not exactly clear what the Tosa Rosh means. Because he's saying is that you're worried that you're not going to violate the thing, right? And you're very worried.
Not going to fulfill it.
That you're not going to fulfill it. You're worried less you'll violate it. Right? So, and you have pain. Right? Because you're worried. It's stressful, you know? Like the mitzvah is coming on and time's coming up. It's stressful, right? But how is that lachlof es yitzro, Yosa? I mean, like, on the contrary, it doesn't seem like you have to conquer your yitzro. On the contrary, so to speak, your yitzro is helping you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, your yitzro is... You're very worried that maybe time will elapse, and that there's stress involved in the thing, and you know, and you really—it's like almost you have assistance, it would seem, in doing it. You know what I mean? Like, how does that have anything to do with conquering your yetzer? Conquering your yetzer would seem to be on the contrary. The other guy has to conquer his yetzer because he could just as well sleep in. But he has to decide, he has to wake up, so he has to conquer his yetzer, he doesn't have, you know, but the other guy in his natural stress, that's going to, I have to wake up, I'm worried, I'm going to miss the thing, so it seems like, on the contrary, he has less to conquer. You know what I mean? Same. Okay, so here's what I was thinking like this, is that maybe he means, because the question is, what's this tzar? I mean, it's more tzar. Tzar isn't a good thing. I mean, what do we need tzar for? If the mitzvah, like we asked, he said, the mitzvah, if you hold that there's no value in the mitzvahs per se. And the whole benefit of mitzvahs is that you're subordinating, you're torturing, painting yourself for God, like go the Zohar holds, and you're right, the more pain, the better. But if you hold it that God gave us the Torah, and the Torah is intrinsically a good, and it's good for us, so then what do I have to have pain in doing it? I mean, the pain isn't the good. Like an example, a flu shot, or I get a shot. But one guy it hurts, and one guy it doesn't hurt so much. So the flu shot's going to benefit them both the same amount. It's not. It's a good for you. The mitzvahs are good. So who cares if it's pain? There's pain involved. Well, you don't need pain. On the contrary, it's better off if you don't have the pain from the flu shot. I mean, you don't want the pain. So the thing is, like, maybe it's like this, that, see? So the thing is, like I said, that the perfection in Torah comes when a person, like in a person, there's basically there's two pictures of reality, which are fighting for the guy's attention. Okay, and as on the one hand, his emotions are painting to him a certain picture of reality, of truth. As you follow me, follow what feels good. Follow whatever the taiva is, and this is it. This will make you happy. This is the good. You know, your emotions tell you, sleep late. This is good. The good thing for you is sleep late. You know, that's the reality. The reality is the world of your emotions, your yetzer, you know? And then on the other hand, you have a mind, and your mind tells you, no, what's real is Tzvar Hashem, mitzvos, chachma, perfection, right? And basically, the degree to which a person is perfected, or is Olam Haba, or is a good person, is the degree to which his soul is attached to the true reality and not to the false reality. It's the degree to which his mind, or his soul, sees this as real and that as fake. Is that the taivas tell him that if he has a fancy sports car, he's gonna be happy. But his mind tells him it doesn't have to do with it. And so, insofar as the guy believes his emotion, then that's what's real to him. And when he dies, that dies and dies with him, and he doesn't continue to exist. But insofar as the guy realizes that's an emotion, that's not real, that's just an emotion. But the reality is the world of Chachma. So then his soul is attached to that world of Chachma, the world of ideas. Right? And that person will continue to exist beyond his death because that was real for him. His soul is attached to reality, which isn't totally in the physical. Right? That's the Olam Haba. Right? That's the idea, is that he continues to exist because his soul is attached to something which is a reality which transcends the physical. It doesn't cease when he dies. But essentially, that's what a person, the struggle in life is. What is real? Is your world, your emotional world, real, or is the world of mind real? Okay, they're both fighting for his claim. For what do you really see as the it, as truth, as reality? Okay. So things like this is that for a guy who basically is doing the mitzvahs day in and day out, and he has to do the mitzvahs. Okay, he has to do the mitzvahs. He doesn't have a choice. He's worried if he doesn't do the mitzvahs, So for him, that's reality. Reality is Dvar Hashem. Okay? His whole, all his energies are basically flowing towards truth, towards the mitzvahs, towards the world of God, Chachma. Right? He cannot do that. Right? So all his whole self is tied up in the reality of Torah. Okay? But someone who could decide, maybe I'll do it today, maybe I'll decide to do the mitzvahs, maybe I'll just decide to follow my Eitzah. You know, and he could equally do one or the other. So the fact that he has that other option, and his emotions aren't worried that he has to do these, so it means the guy isn't going to, or it would be that much more difficult for him to align his whole self with the reality of mitzvahs and of Torah. You know what I mean? To the degree to which it is a must, and he got to do it. That to that degree, that is it. Mitzvos are that's it. Fact. Torah is fact. He got to do it. In his life and his personality, Torah is the only choice. That's it. So that person, his attachment to Torah and to Chachma, to mitzvos, is a greater attachment than somebody who has the ability to go one way or the other, and sometimes goes here, sometimes goes there, So then it's that much more difficult for the person. And in general, he's not going to become attached to the Torah in the same way as the other guy. And as evidenced by the fact that if he doesn't do it, he may miss it. This guy is running towards it because he knows this is it. I got to do it. But the other guy, it's yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. It's you know, it's it doesn't it doesn't. His soul doesn't attach to it in the same kind of a way without the obligation. There's an obligation. Demands that he attaches himself to it in a different kind of a way than he would have otherwise. And that attachment of the personality to the thing as being an absolute reality is a perfection for a person and brings a person to a higher level. I think what Rashi tells us is a lach of yitzra yoser. I don't think he means it's harder for him to be kofez yitzra, but I think it's more times, more often. I think someone said that. I think that's what he said. He has to always be involved in every yetzer he has going against it. He has to conquer, and he has to align that yetzer. He has to conquer that yetzer. He has to conquer all his taivas that may come up against the mitzvah. He's going to have to redirect them and realize that I don't want to do the mitzvah because of this. Well, I got to do the mitzvah. I don't want to do because of this. I got to do the mitzvah. So he's always going to have to. He's constantly in a battle. Overall, every single emotion which comes up against it, he's going to have to align that and subordinate that to the Torah. But another guy is basically going to have a desire one day to wake up late, and he'll still wake up late. So he's not going to ever have to overcome that emotion of waking up late or in any particular thing. So he's not going to align his whole personality with the reality of Torah in the same way someone who's an Ein Mitzvah will. Let's say, for instance, here's a question. Maybe just to bring out the question. Let's say you have a guy. Like, let's say Rav Yosef. Presumably, he was doing the mitzvos every time, whether he was mitzvah or he wasn't mitzvah. Right? I mean, presumably. Yeah, right. Presumably, he was still doing them. I mean, you'd think. Like, let's say you have a guy, or not Rav Yosef, I don't know. A guy who's in mitzvah, but does it every single time. He doesn't miss a day. You know what I mean? So then, is he the mitzvah creator? Sounds like the Gemara is saying he is. Sounds like the Gemara is saying he is, right? Because Rav Yosef seems to be the example. I don't think Rav Yosef was. It doesn't sound that way. It sounds like Rav Yosef was doing them all anyways. The question is, he wanted to know whether he's mitzvah or he's not mitzvah. You know. So what's the difference? So you say he's kofez yetzer. So he's never staying in bed. He's always doing the mitzvah. He's never going following that yetzer. He's always doing the mitzvah the same way. So why is there any difference? Practically speaking, he's doing the exact same activities. Before or after. So how does it make a difference, right? So Yossi Arutosa says it's like Mishiesh Lepas Pesalo. Like the Pas Pesalo. They have that come up. We talked about it a little
is
bit.
Is that
but,
a basket?
But it comes up. Yeah, bread in his basket. It's talking about like by, comes up by Nida. Or by Arias. Like Yichud, for instance. They say Yichud. So a guy who's married, doesn't his wife's in Nida, doesn't miss a Yichud. Right? He doesn't miss a Yichud. But she's also down. Right, she's also them. She's a nida. She's a kare. She's a kare. Schiv kare. So only everybody was in a yichud, right? So I think they say that in a doma mishesh lo pasal salo, mishen lo pasal salo. Is the fact that he has bread in his basket. It means he knows that in 2 weeks she'll be tar, and then she'll be motor. You know, so that itself emotionally it's not as trying. Now yichud is a trying situation because the guy has to control himself. But the guy, the fact that he knows that she'll be mutter in 2 weeks, he has pas pesala. It means he has bread in his basket. So he could take, even though he can't actually engage in bia, but since he knows that he will be able to, so in the back of his mind, it's not as difficult and as trying. He doesn't have to conquer his taiva for bia in the same way that a different guy has. So the other guy has to conquer his taiva and say, I want her. Sorry, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's like absolute denial of the Yetzer. But the guy who is those wives is Anita, it's not. It doesn't demand that he totally denies the Yetzer, because in the back of his mind, the Yetzer could still say, "Well, I could always look. I could say I shall be mother." He has pas pesala. I mean, it doesn't demand the total break, the denial of the Yetzer. You with me? So I think that's what I was saying is that even if you do it every single time, if you do the mitzvah every single time, you don't have to break yourself from those other emotions. Because even when you're not following those other emotions, you know that you always could follow those other emotions. You know, and the fact that you know you could follow them, and you could sleep late if you wanted to, so there's a certain you could still hold on to the reality of those emotions, and you could still believe them, and you could still kind of they still could gain a satisfaction in a paspasalo type of a form. And the fact that you know that they could be, you don't have to deny it. Like a guy, basically, when if you start like, for instance, like maybe let's say a guy like enjoys like waking up, sleeping late, and then he realizes that he has to wake up, but he always has to make some Kriya Shema. That's a blow to his desire to sleep. You can never sleep in. You can never miss. Never, ever. There's no... That itself means you have to basically conquer that desire. You have to it's painful. That's a painful thing. He has to overcome it. If the guy knows that, even if a guy will wake up every single morning, but he knows that he doesn't have to wake up, so then he's not going to conquer that emotion in the back of his mind, because he doesn't have to, it doesn't come like to the battle against, he doesn't have to battle against that thing, because he knows he could always do it. Even if he may not use that option, it's still he knows that he could. And therefore, he doesn't deny the reality in the same way. But when something comes, you got to do it. And your whole personality becomes, you got to do it. Then you have to basically conquer it. You have to conquer it. Because it's there's no hope of satisfaction. So you've got to get over it. That's it. There's no hope. But as long as there's a hope, the personality isn't going to become attached to the reality, going to overcome the emotion and attach to the reality in the same way. I mean... Also, the guy probably will miss it sometimes, you know what I mean? But I think even in this, in the most extreme case, I think still it's a different kind of a... You relate to something different when it's absolute. All right? That's just that. That is reality. The absoluteness of the halacha and the demand which halacha makes allows a person to be able to break from his emotions in a different kind of a way, because it's absolute. And if it weren't absolute, then it would be that much more difficult, and he wouldn't be able to break in the same type of way, because the emotion knows that it has a paspasalo, it could always satisfy itself. That's the idea of breaking cold turkey. If a person's quitting something, it's all over. He has to break it. Otherwise, the energy is still there. The Doeg Mitzvah is indicating that for him, this is his reality. That's it. If he's getting close to the time, it's it. He gets worried. He knows this is it. There's no solace that he may not do it. He got to do it, and that's that itself. So he's gonna have. That's gonna force him to really conquer and to beat out all his emotions which are against it. And that's what tells Rashi. That's why Lach of Yitzro is because of that he's gonna be able to conquer his Yitzro and more so in a different kind of a way than and without that. That you gotta do it. The doe, you're not gonna break those emotions. Emotions are hard to break, and you need a strong force that's gonna force you to break them. So that's what he's showing. That's what Chanina's point is. That in Schar and the Mitzvos, if you look at it on a surface level, you say the Schar is the action, like I'm overcoming my the action of deciding to do it is a thing, you know what I mean? So he's deciding, the guy who doesn't have to do it is deciding. He's deciding on his own that he wants to do it. See, that's his first. That's good. He's saying it's true, and the guy who's Eina Mitzuva doesn't have to decide; he has to. But still, the state of being a Mitzuva and the absoluteness which comes from the Tzivoy forces the personality to become attached to it in a different way than if you're deciding. So even though there is a Milo in deciding, there is a Milo because you're seeing with Yom Chachman, you're deciding to do it. But that's what he's saying, is that this is a different idea. The perfection of the Tzimtzus is not the action of doing it, but is the attachment of the soul to those as realities. And that is, that's a greater thing. It's greater than the action of... See, the other way, the action... See, that's the question. It's like, what's the essential style of the mitzvah? Is it because you decided to do the mitzvah? They say who that... It's like the action of doing it. So they say, this guy decided to do it. It's greater, because the other guy had to do it. He did it. Because he had to, he always does it, you know. The other guy's really deciding, he wants to do it. Or he's saying, no, the Schar Mitzvah isn't just the action of deciding, but is the result of your soul being attached to the mitzvahs, and that attachment to the mitzvahs as the reality. And the guy who's mitzvah, even though it may not be a big feat to decide to do it, because he has to do it, but the result of the way he becomes to attach to them as truth is greatest. I mean, it's great. Okay. So that's one pshat. So the other pshat, I mean, it's pshat which is most similar to this, which I think is different, though, is the Ritva says, he says, because that's sata mekachigo kshu mitzuva. The satan, like, fights him when he's mitzuva, and the other guy, he doesn't fight him. And the fun tsar agra. According to the, guys, according to the tsar is his reward. Okay, so somehow, the Tsar. I mean, it sounds a little similar because he has Tsar, but he said he has a different point also. I mean, the Slata Mekatsu. The question is, what's his idea there? But then you have the other Pshat, the last Pshat, which they both have. The Ritva and the Tosa Rosh have, right? So I'll read it. Where should I read it? I'll read it. You guys have Tosa Rosh or? Whatever. Okay, so the Ritva says, Rabbeinu Gadol Zal Pirsh. Sha mitzvah nein lahan nos hakel yisparach. Ha mitzvah. The mitzvahs aren't for the pleasure or the benefit of God. El is chuseinah, but they're for us. Umishu mitzvah kiyum gzeres ha-melech. And one who is mitzvah fulfills the will of God. And therefore he gets more schar than someone who doesn't fulfill God's will. It's funny, it sounds almost contradictory. Like he sets up this starting point that it's not for God, and then he says, oh, but you're doing the great schar because you're doing the God's will, you know? Mikol makom, af hu roi lekabasko, but it still gets a schar, shaharim mitov leva v'chasidos, hechnis atzma, lasas mitzvah sashemit, but he's deciding to do mitzvah shemit parach. Fine. Then he says, v'dav mitzvah shtiva shemitzvah achirim, sheish, fine. Sheish, I'm ratzah. That's only if he decides to do something which God commanded, just not to him. If he just decides to make up his own thing, if you just decide to make up things, like to torture yourself, to do certain whatever, not commanded, that's not what we're talking about. It doesn't mean you're making up your own mitzvah. It means God made up the mitzvah, he just didn't supply it to you. So now you have a p'tor, but you're doing it anyways. Okay. But his point is, he's somehow saying is that there's a better schar because you're doing God's will somehow. So maybe if we could just draw out what's that idea. And how is that? Sounds like, in a sense, he's contradictory. He's saying, at first he's saying it's not for God, but it's for man. But then he's saying it's because he's doing God's will. You know, it's kind of God, you know. So what's his idea? What's his other idea? Okay, so there are two more ideas here. After we do that, we'll get to the bracha thing. Okay, this next tosus. The bracha thing is, this next tosus here, the lom ifakidna. Okay, and look at the Ritva. The Ritva and the Ran. The Ran and the Ritva, both tall. They go at length in it. They're very long. I don't want to get lost in, and I'll try to tell you exactly what we're going to do, because there's a lot of detailed points. But I want to just try to get the main points. So maybe I'll try to highlight exactly which points. But you'll see.